Please welcome your host, John Lovett.
Hi, guys. Okay. So, we got a lot to get to. I don't know if you guys have been checking your phones in the last half an hour. But things are happening. How's everybody doing? Thanks for coming out to the improv. As always, I remind everyone listening at home, including baby boomers, who again have made their voices heard, to subscribe and rate the show positively. Also, we're going to be at the Now Hear This Festival on September 8th, and you can still get tickets for that. Thus ends the housekeeping. So much happened today, and there was so much to break down that, and you know, there's a lot of crazy shit domestically, but also internationally, which are the two kinds of things that can happen. So I wanted to split it in half, and so I wanted to start tonight by bringing up the co-host of Pod Save America and the host of Pod Save the World. I heard some yeses from the front row, which is exactly right. Give it up for Tommy Vitor. Hi, Thomas. Yeah, we shake hands now. This is the Vitor Detour.
Hi, John.
Hi, Tommy.
I took notes because it was a fucked up afternoon.
Yep. Okay, so today Trump signed an executive order initiating a transgender military ban. This comes after Trump tweeted about a ban on July 26, citing the need for a military focused on decisive and overwhelming victory. And that was a mess because it went against the Pentagon protocol, and nobody knew what he meant. The White House official who briefed reporters on the memo on Friday evening declined to say whether current transgender troops would be allowed to remain in the military under these policy guidelines. Like, what do we know about this order tonight?
So apparently he has banned transgender people from joining the military, and he's deferred to Secretary Mattis whether individuals currently serving in the military will be kicked out or be allowed to serve. So a lot of these arguments on the so-called merits, stepping back for a second, just remember that transgender people are twice as likely as the regular population to say, yeah, I want to get shot at, and I want to live in fucking Afghanistan or Iraq and serve my country. So these are the people we're, you know, kicking dirt on for no reason. The argument usually relies around something called readiness, which is essentially like, do our troops have the stuff they need, bullets, equipment, you know, underwear, are they trained, is the morale right? And so it's always a question of readiness, which is this nebulous term. And this is the same argument made against integrating the military, allowing gays and lesbians in the military, allowing women in the military in combat roles. And as far as I can tell, we still have the baddest, best military on the planet. So far, so good. So it's a totally specious bullshit argument. And the real threat to readiness would be yanking thousands of transgender individuals out of their jobs, training new people, finding them, and then putting them in back in there. So it's just like, it's a completely bullshit argument.
Okay, well, I'd like to do a follow-up, but I just don't.
I have a follow-up. The other argument they make is that somehow this is expensive, which is fucking bullshit. Apparently it will cost 0.04% to 0.1% of the medical budget. I sat down with Eric Fanning, who is the first gay service secretary. He was the secretary of the army, and he said this was like the most ludicrous thing you heard. He would go out into the field and meet with people, and they all could care less if gays and lesbians or if transgender people served alongside of them. There was no cost issue. There will be legal challenges left and right to this decision. So this is a naked political play for the hard, hard right base. John McCain is fine with this. A number of members of Congress who are Republicans came out and said they didn't understand this. They didn't think it made sense from a military perspective. So this is a pathetic, vindictive political decision.
I don't even know who it's for. It's just such a strange thing to go out of your way. There's not a giant constituency of even right-wing conservatives clamoring for this. It's such a narrow band of people that this is supposed to please or pay back for something. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the defining characteristic of his first term in office is he has no policy agenda, so he opposes everything Obama did, and he is the most vindictive, bullying, cruel person he can possibly be. So here we are.
So let's go to the second most vindictive person in North Korea. North Korea launched several short-range missiles off its coast, flying about 155 miles to the northeast before falling into the sea. This comes after Trump threatened to rain down fire and fury on North Korea if the country did not stand down after testing missiles last month. Pretty cool.
Good news.
This seems like more of the same. Is this an escalation? Why is this happening now? Where are the negotiations? Is this just more saber rattling of the same kind of thing?
Yeah. So, in some ways, this is the least surprising. There have been a growing number of these missile launches and tests over the last year. These were medium range missiles. It's not good. It's a U.S. Security Council violation. Apparently, they failed, but it's not like a ICBM. It's not a threat to hitting the U.S. homeland. It happened because we're in the middle of a biannual military exercise with the South Koreans that, you know, one could sort of reasonably argue looks like practicing for an invasion. So they hate it. By the way, the Chinese hate it. So this is him lashing out. The problem is that Trump has backed himself into a corner with this rhetoric, talking about fire and fury, hell to pay, like all these stupid things he said. And now Kim Jong-un is just going to test him and test him and test him and see what that actually means.
Terrific. Guys, give it up for Tommy Vitor.
Thanks.
This has been the Vitor Detour.
I love coming up here.
You guys can catch Tommy on Pod Save the World or a Tommy John underwear advertisement probably during this show. Guys, give it up for an awesome panel. She is the co-host of the internet's premier feminist Star Trek podcast, Treks and the City. Give it up for Alice Wetterland. Hi. We hug? I don't know what to do.
Hey.
All right, great. Here, you sit there.
All right.
He is a writer and host of the podcast, Yo, Is This Racist? Andrew T. Woo-hoo! Oh. I shook Tommy's hand and it felt wrong. And so
you can't. The Hollywood hug is sexist, man. You got to hug everyone.
I don't. I want to hug no one. She's an actress starring in Hulu's Casual and the new film Brigsby Bear, which is in theaters now. Welcome back to the show, Michaela Watkins. Hi.
Hi, John.
Yeah, reversing it, shaking hands.
Right?
Now.
Okay,
doesn't that feel much more progressive?
I think that the hug spread because nobody knows what to do anymore and is afraid to be rude.
Let's just mash bodies together.
Yeah. I think it's a culmination of cultural decline.
Oh, okay. Mm. Hugs.
Make America give like a really stiff handshake again. Is that what you're
saying? Absolutely. Yeah. You look them in the eyes, you shake hands, then you don't talk about anything real.
Yeah.
Till you die. That's how it was done.
And that's the new Democratic slogan.
That is.
It's a market improvement over. What was the last one that got floated?
We're not. I can't get into a better deal again. I can't. All right, guys, let's get into it. What a day. What a day. So Tommy and I just went through this transgender troop ban and these North Korean missiles, but that's just the beginning. Let's start with something that happened just a few hours ago. Donald Trump pardoned racist former Arizona sheriff Joe Arpaio. You guys are on the fence. He was convicted of civil contempt. He was found in civil contempt for his failure to back down from these racist and unconstitutional roundups of people, along with several other violations. There's Fourth Amendment violations and others. He was then found in criminal contempt. So this is two separate judges finding him in contempt. And this is somebody who has built these tent cities to hold people, many of whom have not been convicted of anything. He had been having his guys go around rounding up Latinos and scaring Latinos and then throwing them into cells, even if they hadn't been convicted, of punishing people because they didn't speak English, of holding people in tent cities that were so hot their shoes melted.
Every time you say something, I lose 4 years of my life. I just, like, my lifespan just got shorter and shorter because my body started eating itself. But please carry on.
You know what that reminds me of?
What diet is that? We'll talk after.
There was this study that found that Oscar winners live longer than Oscar nominees who don't win. And I've often thought that that's sort of fine because you're disappointed, but it won't last that long.
Remember when that was the study and poll people were doing?
Yeah.
When our right. life was so simple that we were like, if you were nominated for an Oscar, how long will you live?
So.
Remember?
I do
Those
remember.
Those are fun times.
Michaela, I do remember. I remember a simpler time. I remember when Barack Obama put his feet on the Oval Office desk, and that was a story. I remember when Mitt Romney misspelled the word America in an ad.
Yeah.
And people lost their minds.
Yeah. I miss Sarah Palin.
Honestly, it's
like so much.
Why do we even do this show anymore? I mean, what are we going to do, guys?
I think you just have to do it twice a week.
I don't.
Or just like a nonstop fever dream that's just broadcast.
Last week, we were talking about how crazy it was that Donald Trump had failed to properly respond to Charlottesville and was apologizing for white supremacists. And I remember saying, is next week just going to be a new bag of crazy things?
Like, when does this show go on hiatus?
Right?
Because I need a fucking break.
Is he like, on vacation technically still, or did that end?
No, he's back. They finished the White House renovations.
Hell yeah.
And he's back in the Oval.
He really kicked back.
Trouble.
It was
Although
cool.
Now he's at Camp David, so he went to Camp David to watch the hurricane on TV. And issue pardons and transgender bans. Scott Conroy said that basically it's unclear if there's any strategy behind this or if Donald Trump was just jealous of a hurricane.
Yeah,
all the attention that it was getting.
God forbid anything should happen with this hurricane, but he'll be the victim. He'll be like, I can't believe, I mean, I know we lost, you know, supply lines and thousands, God forbid, are displaced, but can you believe how mean the media was to me that I didn't appoint anybody to any kind of FEMA position. Ha ha ha.
Well, David Clark tweeted something like, David Clark's that
the
like, sheriff? He tweeted.
The other evil sheriff in the news?
Yeah, the other evil sheriff that will be pardoned after he commits a crime. Democrats and Lib Media are no doubt hoping for Hurricane Harvey to make a direct hit on Texas so they can blame real Donald Trump. Bastards.
And then I just did it.
And on the other. On
I just got mad about something I made up in the same tweet. Like, what?
Yeah, you're gonna make the straw man and then kill it in one tweet. You can do it.
He's it's so just, upset.
Yeah, you're picking fights with hypotheticals.
Best regards. Texas.
Does he know how many Nazis are in Texas?
You're sleep tweeting again, David.
Let's stay on Arpaio for a second.
All right. Sorry.
It's gonna be a loose show, guys. I'm in a mood. I don't know what to do anymore. We'll get. Arpaio, then we're going to get to the Committee to Save America. We're going to get to Gary Cohn. We're going to get to it. Arpaio. So now one thing we learned is that DOJ did not approve this pardon. It didn't go through the normal process. It was also not something that Republicans on the Hill were clamoring for. If anything, it puts them in a bad position. They're going to have to talk about the fact that this is a crazy pardon, one of the craziest that's ever been issued. Republicans are going to do their whataboutism. They're going to start talking about things like Mark Rich, but put aside what bad comparisons to other bad pardons in the past, and there are many. This is a unique thing. Noah Feldman, I believe, wrote in Bloomberg about just how much of this undermines the rule of law, because this isn't somebody getting clemency for or wrongly convicted. This is somebody specifically convicted for violations of the Bill of Rights, and not by a jury, by the way. Convicted. Held in contempt by judges for not following judges' orders. And that's like a very serious thing. I guess, do we think there will be any ramifications for this? Do we think that he will pay any price? Do we think that this is going to send a message to other people that it's okay to do these kinds of things? I mean, what do you guys think is the consequence of Donald Trump pardoning a racist sheriff who was unapologetically breaking the law?
Well, I think he still did those things, and he was still held in contempt, and he was still convicted of those crimes, which he's going to have that stain on his reputation. And now he has the additional stain on his reputation of being pardoned by the worst person in the universe, which is not going to be something that people will be proud of eventually.
That's true.
I guess I had a question from like the most cynical version of this, which was,
what concentration camp will he run?
He, you know, he called his like desert camps concentration camps. Yeah,
he was proud of that.
It was, yeah. He's a cool guy. He seems like a cool guy. No, here's my question though: is that like it's hard to get a sheriff on anything? So like. So that was super extraordinary, and this is a counter super extraordinary thing. But there are racist sheriffs like everywhere in the United States who are doing all kinds of shit like this. Like, I guess optics aside, I don't know. Like racist sheriffs are still going to be doing racist shit.
Yeah.
And does it really change that? I don't know.
Well, the one thing that's frightening to me is I think this sends a message to two kinds of people. One, it sends a message to law enforcement officials. Go crazy, right? You can go further than you did before because I've got your back. So if you want to commit violations, if you want to pull people over for being Latino, if you want to bust some heads, I'll get your back. But the other group of people this sends a message to is all of Trump's criminal co-conspirators who are right now under investigation. Because one thing this makes very clear is Donald Trump doesn't care what people think about how he's going to use this pardon power. So racists and criminals are going to, this is a boon.
It's just adding to the pile of boon for racists and criminals.
Right.
Like,
he's been saying, go crazy, cops,
right?
For yeah. a while.
Sorry, that was the darkly cynical, but also hopeful that we're just regressing towards a shitty
I can take it downtown.
Quo.
I can get real dark over here. Welcome to my brain, guys. I have a question, because you know everything, John. Isn't there some sort of isn't this sort of an impeachable offense to kind of pardon somebody when you're supposed to be holding up some version of a court order?
Impeachable offense is whatever we want it to be. Mm-hmm. High crimes and misdemeanors have no definition. Mm-hmm. An impeachable offense is anything that a majority of the House and a two-thirds majority of the Senate deem impeachment worthy. You know, what is a high crime? Like, I think obstructing justice is a high crime. I think inciting racial hatred and animus and violence, as well as inciting violence against the press, is an impeachable offense. I think abusing the pardon power to send a message that the Bill of Rights doesn't apply to people as long as they're attacking the right groups. I mean, I think all of these things can be impeachable offenses.
It's just so weird because, like, he spent his whole Phoenix rally talking about how he's not racist, like, in it was just in the longest version of a way. And then it's almost like a TV show that's like, if you're joining us this week, he's still a racist. It's like, if you're just joining now, like, we have to make sure we feed who this character is because you might have forgotten from last week.
His character is wildly inconsistent, I feel like. Like the Trump writers are
rapist.
Like.
Well,
he's not going to be impeached by this Congress because they're beholden to him because he has the voting base that he has. And he has to keep the voting base by continuously committing impeachable offenses. So there's like a snake eating its tail effect.
That's kind of their core issue is like, he got to do impeachable
he can't
shit.
Not do that.
That's what they love.
They told me not to do this, so I'm doing it. And they're like, yeah.
That
and Paul
is,
Ryan's like,
that is fascinating. He commits impeachable offenses to maintain his base.
Yeah.
The base makes the members of Congress afraid of him so that they can't impeach him for impeachable offenses.
This is like a beautiful mind.
Which is why he has to commit impeachable offenses. It's the Ouroboros of the biggest mistake America's ever made. Anyway, this Arpaio shit is nuts. And once again, just to point out, the so-called Committee to Save America trying to stop all this bad stuff behind the scenes, your Dina Powells, your Gary Cohns, your Ivankas, your Jareds, nowhere. Gary Cohn today did a round of press about just how close he came to resigning and how, I don't know if you guys heard this, but Gary Cohn was not able to go to his house in the Hamptons because he had to go talk to the president about just how upset he was.
What?
So these are the sacrifices these people are making, and I think it's unfair of you guys to lack the understanding of just what they're giving for this country every single day. It is a sacrifice.
And
thank you for pointing that out.
It is a sacrifice.
Pardon me,
sacrifice.
But Ivanka is very busy reading letters from children. She's got 10 or 12 letters. That's a week, guys. Well, she's got to be reading those.
In the morning, she makes them. And then in the afternoon,
she writes them to herself.
She takes the picture with them.
She's got a split personality. Young Ivanka writes in. Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, meanwhile, Robert Mueller is still doing his thing. Some stories broke also tonight during my pre-show nap that... Should I talk about that? Who cares? I woke up and I had a WhatsApp from Tommy saying, tonight's show is going to be interesting. I was like, what happened? So...
what do you do in that... Because I usually take my show a few days out, and I did one before Charlottesville happened, and then, you know, sort of in the intervening days. And I just had to be like, yeah, I don't know. I recorded a little thing that was just like, I'm sorry, but this is fucking crazy. Like, are you just freaking out all the time, man? Like, how does that work?
Well,
in your head?
You know, we were going to move Love It or Leave It to Thursday nights and then release it on Saturday morning, but that's not possible because every Friday is a fucking news explosion. So... Mueller is looking into what role former national security advisor and just fantastic, fantastic character Michael Flynn played in an effort to get Hillary Clinton's emails from Russian hackers. Also, six PR firms with ties to Paul Manafort, who's famous for both being Donald Trump's campaign chairman and also his having his name appear in the Ukrainian Black Ledger, the most sinister sounding thing that's as sinister as it sounds. So six firms with ties to Manafort have received subpoenas. Manafort has come under scrutiny for lobbying work he did on behalf of the government in Ukraine, hence his name appearing in the Black Ledger. This Russia stuff is ongoing, guys. You know what else is hard to talk about here? What? Yeah, the Russia stuff is still happening. What else is there to say? Mueller, hurry the fuck up.
There should be like... It's an episode that you do that's just dedicated to, by the way, this is still happening.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, Jared Kushner still has clearance. Like, yeah. by the way. Yeah.
By the way, he's also still in charge of Middle East peace.
To be fair, that's going fine today.
Oh, yeah, but by the way, Eric Trump is giving speeches at Republican committee meetings, even though he's supposed to have a Chinese wall between him and...
I just call that
it's
a wall.
Just a
you just got a wall.
I'm with you, dog. I'm with you, man. That's the wall, right?
I don't know anything about
politics.
It's the original. It's the original wall.
That's the main wall.
It's the original wall that Mexico didn't pay for.
Correct.
So I think Mueller has people working for him. Like, it's not just him. But every time I think about him dealing with this, I just think of him being so busy that he doesn't notice anything else going on. Like, Trump could, like, walk into his office and, like, unzip a skin suit, and it's Putin underneath, and then unzip, and it's Trump again, and Mueller's just, like, like shuffling papers furiously. There's too much. That's what I think about.
I enjoyed that thoroughly, but as you were speaking, I was reminded of a comparison. I was just thinking about how Jared Kushner, who is completely unqualified, is in charge of... Middle East peace, the opioid crisis, and government reorganization and modernization. And it actually occurred to me that you do a podcast on Star Trek, and
yes.
It made me think of the fact that the Starship Enterprise has one engineer, and Geordi knows literally every single thing from, like, how to fix the kitchen to the engines to the shields.
Well, he is qualified, though.
Right.
So it's okay. Like, Geordi is the only person working in engineering because everybody else who tries to work in engineering, he's like, just get out. Like, I don't know what you're even asking me. Leave. He just hates questions because he just knows. So that...
But what do you think about that comparison? I feel really good about my comparison. I was just thinking about Star
Trek. I know
Trek,
you do.
I was like... But you are right. Jared Kushner is as if Geordi LaForge had never done anything to learn about engineering before he started.
Jared Kushner is something that Geordi LaForge would, like, study on the holodeck. Like, how did this person get so much power, and how do I harness it for our warp drive?
Now you're blowing my mind, because it's now occurring to me that that Star Trek takes place in a better future. However, it's a future based on our real world, which means it's a future in which Donald Trump was president,
That's
means...
Right.
It is possible that Jean-Luc Picard can call up Donald Trump in the holodeck and ask him how the Great War started.
It's a great war. It's a great war.
The best.
That's what he'd say.
It was the best war.
Everybody liked it.
I feel like they played celebrity, but with, you know, world issues. And whatever, you know, paper you pulled out of the hat, he's like, ha, that's what you're taking care of. And then there was, except for, like, maybe Israel, he was like, Jew, you got this. Because no, everybody's like, no, I don't want it. I peeked at it. I don't want it.
It is, like, funny how he just, because he had to sprinkle in a handful of tokens. And he was just like, that's your job, dog. You're the Jew around here. You have to do this. Say an urban development. You know what I'm talking about.
Right. And well, and he got Gary Cohn for the money stuff. Donald Trump likes Jewish lawyers, doctors, and money people because he operates like a New York Post cover from 1985. If the New York Post in 1985 became a person, then watched Fox News for a decade.
But we'll throw them all under the bus if it means neo-Nazis will vote for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a delicate balance. I mean, it must be tough. your daughter and son-in-law are Jewish. Your financial, your economic advisor is Jewish. Your lunatic doctor is Jewish. Your bad lawyer is Jewish.
And yet, but I don't feel sorry for him.
Oh, no, we should not. No. I'm just saying that he's has to walk a delicate balance.
No, I know.
I mean, he just can't appease the neo-Nazis. In that meeting.
It's hard.
Although Gary Cohn was in Trump Tower standing there kind of like, oh, shit.
Yeah. I mean, didn't like Kushner and Bannon have to like sit together at the same table and whatnot? Like, how's that work?
You know.
It's probably a long table like in Batman.
Oh, cool.
They're at like really far ends of it.
It's like if we were closer, shit would be on, but I get it. That's the Nazi table. Okay.
Steve, could you pass the salt?
What?
All right.
Okay. I got you, girl. You got it. I see you.
You're on top of things in the front row. And it's great.
President of the front row.
And it's good to see you. And you're having fun. And I think you're noshing on something, so it's a whole night. You know, you're eating and you're drinking and you're also yelling and it's fun. But it's the perfect amount. It's the perfect amount. I like you. I like your energy. I am glad you don't have a mic. All right. Let's move on, I guess. Who cares? Oh, all right, guys. This one's unalloyed fun. Gorka is out. Oopsie doopsie. I was fired while on vacation and then quickly wrote a resignation letter to make it seem less embarrassing. So, Sebastian Gorka, Fox News personality, Vitenzi Rent member, executive office building, Denison, job description, not having person. Lost the thread, who cares? Anyway, Gorka's out. Gorka released the following resignation statement.
On Sandals Resort Stationery.
It does say this. It says, sandals, --. Given recent events, it is clear to me that forces that do not support the MAGA promise are, for now, I should do this in the accent.
Yes.
You know, that is a testimony to how easy a white guy can succeed with mediocre impressions. It's too easy.
They're pretty good.
I can't even remember. I don't even remember what it is. He fell out of the news. Given recent events, it is clear to me that forces that do not support the MAGA promise are for now ascendant within the White House. As a result, the best and most effective way I can support you, Mr. President, is from outside the People's House. Oopsie doopsie. So bad. Anyway, Gorka's out. He was fired because he was on vacation and then quickly ran to his Pentium 5 and typed, you can't fire me, I quit, here's all the reasons I quit, then released it. And then the White House put out an anonymous statement saying, Sebastian Gorka did not resign, but he no longer works at the White House. So somebody on Twitter called it his personal night of the long knives, and I like that. I don't know what there is to say about Gorka either. He never really had a job. Trump liked him because he was on TV. He was an anti-Muslim bigot. He was way too comfortable in a Hungarian fascist uniform.
Right. He was not to, like, look, we don't need to play who's the worst Nazi, but he was, like, the most, like, old school Nazi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the most Nazi. Yeah.
He's a classic Nazi.
Yeah, yeah. Nazi classic.
He seemed kind of like a foppish Nazi. Like, he was like, ooh, like a kerchief would come out of his...
Yeah.
And he would present his calf.
You won't see him in an Abercrombie polo.
Right.
No, and he had a good broche game going on, so...
I will. And look, we will always cherish the photo of Seb Gorka in front of his Ford Mustang with Art War on the license plate, because all the coolest adults talk about Sun Tzu a lot. That's what the coolest, smartest people do.
He can go
Machiavelli
into,
too. What?
He can go into voiceover. He could do like a Gilligan's Island, Thurston Howell III reboot animated series.
Oh, yeah. They gotta get like Breitbart Entertainment going.
No more sharks in the tank.
Stop it. They'll hear this.
I'd work. You know, we would do stuff with Fox Entertainment.
Oh,
it's the same shit. I'll do it in a heartbeat.
All right, end of segment. When we come back, a segment we call Keep It.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one. Download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And we're back. So, some other stuff happened this week, all right? Some of it less dire and world historic, but no less interesting and important, I suppose. Guys, give it up for Ira Madison. He is a writer for the Daily Beast. And Ira is going to help us break down a little bit of news this week about someone who loves to trash their exes, blame the media, never take accountability, who is constantly saying that other people are treating them unfairly, and who's made a little bit of a career of attacking their black competition, Taylor Swift. Ira.
You loved that joke.
You know, that's unfair. I thought it was okay, but I never found the exact right way to say it without feeling uncomfortable as I did it. And I don't think I ever landed on it, but I'm going to leave it in, all right? I'm going to let people see how it all comes together. So, Ira, what do we think of Taylor this week? What do we think of this song? What do we think of Reputation?
Well, let me tell you, Breitbart loves it. Did you not see that?
No.
Breitbart today, all of their news stories, they tweeted the lyrics to Taylor's song. Instead of like writing what the story was, all day they tweeted her lyrics.
What does it mean?
She's white and blonde, and they love her, and she didn't say who she voted for.
Am I crazy to say that there's something a little Trump-like about an album cover that's just her name in headlines, her reappropriating the snake, which of course was something she was called for lying vis-a-vis her, one of her many feuds. You're up on it.
Yeah. No, it was certainly weird to be like, this is the time for me to call the media fake. This is... like, this political climate is perfectly the time for me to lash out at the media for writing about me and my fake relationship with Tom Hiddleston.
Wait, what?
And being carried out of an apartment in a box, maybe?
Everything you're saying to me is new. There was a box?
Allegedly, she was hiding in a box that was carried out of her apartment building.
Why?
She wanted people to think she was in it.
There's some fury in the front row.
She's mad. I mean, this is the same woman who, like, walked her cat on a leash in New York just so, like, the
That's
paparazzi
not a crime.
Would take photos.
That's dope.
Now, Ira, I also want to say something else. I love the song. And we played it at Crooked Media HQ today, and Elisa and I... we're really enjoying it, and Elijah did not comment.
You know, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's kind of nice.
Well, I mean, it does sample Right Said Fred and Peaches, so...
which is great.
Huh. Yeah, so... which is funny, because that Peaches song is in Mean Girls.
I'm sorry, hold on one second. You're very animated, and you're wearing a friend of the pod, and you have so many opinions... from the front row and no microphone.
I would let it out, honey. Put it in the book.
You can go. Are you ready? He said, put it in the book. Are you ready? Are you ready? Just say what you want about the song, about this album. Where's your head at? You are shaking your head. You have 10 seconds.
She's just a victim, and she's not. And she just, she's just stop. She just needs to stop.
Oh, hold on. Hold on.
I wasn't sure where this was going, because she's not a victim. She's a horrible nightmare.
Oh, man. Hold on.
I don't know.
Guys, this is the most animated the house has ever gotten. Hold on a second. Now, listen. This is a show, this company is about a no-bullshit conversation about Taylor Swift's. Is there someone here on the other side of this argument who is very pro-Taylor?
I would like to say something as a middle-aged woman.
I don't mean she is a victim. I mean she plays the victim and she's not.
Okay. Yes. Michaela?
Okay. As a woman who doesn't give two shits about pop culture, I only know about her lawsuit, right? Where she sued a guy for a buck, countersued him for sexual harassment. That's kind of badass.
That was badass. Yeah. That was really badass. Are you on Taylor's side? I want somebody who's going to defend Taylor. Come up. We're just doing this. Yeah. The news is, you're going to come and then you come up. The person who said they would support Taylor. Come on.
Okay.
Come on. I don't know if this is going to edit well. Oh, okay.
No, okay. Okay,
now you're just standing on the stage in a straight shooter shirt with your own microphone. I don't even know how the hell you pulled that off.
Love it. I am fucking coming for you.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
All right, do it.
Okay, so here's the thing. We can acknowledge that she took the suit to get justice for the fact that she was sexually assaulted. However, she is super problematic. She plays the victim, especially when it comes to men of color. Yes. And so you can acknowledge the good that she did with the suit while also acknowledging that she is hella problematic.
All right.
But
all right. Okay,
that's
good. They
brought the suit against her. She didn't file a suit against him, by the way. The guy was suing her.
And she countersued.
It was a countersuit.
Either way, it was badass. What was your name? Because I want you on the record.
I'm Haley.
It's Haley, and she crushed it.
That's
okay.
Right, that's Haley.
Here's the thing.
I'm so glad we did this. I think...
I can admit that I really enjoyed that time Trump fired 4 people on The Apprentice. It was good TV. I watched that episode 3 times. Now I know he's evil. but you can still acknowledge he made good TV. I think that if Taylor had come out with, you know, this sort of powerful song about what had happened to her, people would perceive it differently. But the lyrics are very much directed at Kanye again. And last year she literally Instagrammed that she wanted to be excluded from that narrative, and then she ignored it. Yeah, thus victimizing herself.
And it's like,
again.
Taylor, stop appealing to your base.
And that's the thing. That's the other thing about her. She went on this whole, you know, like, feminist power tour for 1989, where she brought every single woman in media onto her stage.
Yeah. Every skinny model woman.
She brought a lot of women on stage at her concerts, the people who were in her squad. She brought Harriet Tubman up. She was very supportive of,
who's,
you know, women.
Whose most recent album was lackluster.
Yeah, well, you know what? She's doing a lot of good work, and people should know about it.
You know I love it. Don't. We're okay. You were okay. We're okay. Guys, I want you to know something. I do not understand why Taylor Swift brings out this level of emotion from people. It is fascinating. It is something to dive into. I think it connects back to the way Hillary Clinton was treated in the election. Oh, now you're uncomfortable.
Does it?
A little
it's,
bit.
It's
a little
partly
bit, a
because
bit.
It's partly because she rode this feminist wave, and then she remained largely silent during the election about Donald Trump, as someone who feels so strongly about sexual assault didn't speak out against a president who bragged about it. And it's because she knows that a lot of her base are, Breitbart loves her, KKK, white people, watching Dukes of Hazzard, Ducks Dynasty, you know, Ina Garten.
You know,
actually, I love her. I'm so sorry. But like, Barefoot Contessa, there.
Wait till the Ina Garten
same
segment
person.
Later
oh
on the
God.
Show.
I can't tell these white women apart. But she ignored all of that, and now she's just sort of basking in not doing anything.
Well,
you had your moment.
It's pop feminism, right?
Yeah.
That's what pop feminism is. It's
but
like,
every other pop feminist said, fuck Donald Trump. Go out and vote.
I mean,
Katy Perry gets more people to come to a Hillary Clinton rally than she could people
That's
to go to
true.
Her concert.
Even Miley Cyrus.
I'm not going to have that. I'm not
like,
going to have
Miley
that.
Like, Miley Cyrus was
out
there.
I will
like,
not have
there.
That kind of talk on this stage. Go on.
Miley Cyrus was out there, too. And she, like, her dad's Billy Ray Cyrus. There's, like, no reason for Miley Cyrus to be campaigning for Hillary. And she was, like, out there, like, I'm high, whatever she was doing. So
look, I think I want to wrap this up simply by saying that Trump came in like a wrecking ball. But all he did was wreck us.
Do you know the lyrics?
And all he did was build a wall.
Listen, listen, listen. We can disagree about a lot of things. Wrecking Ball is one of the best pop songs of the decade. Guys, give it up for Ira Madison.
Thank you.
That was Keep It. Ira's going to keep it. That was interesting and unexpected. Can you come here for 1 second? Come up here for 1 second. What's your name?
Golmar.
Golmar? Golmar?
Yeah. Golmar, yeah.
Okay.
So here's the beef that I have with it, is that I feel like we're very right or wrong, and I feel like there's so much nuance in it.
Yeah.
That I, like, Taylor Swift to me, we give a lot of guys permission to be ridiculous, where we don't give Taylor permission to be ridiculous.
R. Kelly is currently doing a show in Atlanta where he literally had a sex cult, and he held women captive, and people are just going to see R. Kelly. So, you know, Taylor's like 14, whatever.
I also think we have to slow roll the, like, resistance, you know, people who fall out from Trump, like, what's his name from American Idol? Like, you know what I mean? Because if we all come out and blow our wad at the beginning that we hate him and everything, then it doesn't mean anything later because they're like, oh, you're Hollywood elite or singers or what artists, you hate him. But if we take a couple and they just, like, you know, rig the gun and then, like, at a time where they're like, Taylor Swift doesn't like Trump, I'm out.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
a good
we need
idea.
A, we need, a, like, a press conference with, it's got to be Paul Ryan, Dina Powell, and Taylor Swift together.
Really great.
And they hold hands and run into the abyss.
When we come back, I think. Okay, stop.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, guys, we're going to play OK Stop. Here's the thing. Donald Trump, 2,000 years ago on Tuesday, gave a speech in Phoenix that was absolutely crazy. It was 76 minutes. He implied that night that he would pardon Joe Arpaio, even though everybody knew he wasn't crazy enough to do it. And he went after protesters. He criticized John McCain, though not by name, and a whole bunch of other crazy shit. Okay, stop. We watch a clip. As we go, we stop it to comment. Simple as that. Let's roll the clip.
Loyalty to our nation requires loyalty to each other. We all share the same home, the same dreams, and the same hopes for a better future. A wound inflicted upon one member of our community is a wound inflicted upon us all.
Okay, stop. I just wanted to include that to note that even when he's trying to do kind of unifying language, it's just because Stephen Miller is a C-plus Santa Monica fascist, it just sounds like an authoritarian goon applied to be a writer on like late season West Wing and did not get it.
I feel like, is Trump ruining the words like us and together? Like, cause like he says us with an asterisk that means, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I think we might need to cede that to the racists.
Why has loyalty found its way into this speech like 60,000 times?
Yeah, it's creepy as hell.
You
know what? I had this...
And same with the Boy Scouts. Didn't he loyalty his face off in that one?
Well, I feel like loyalty is part of their
That's
oath,
kind of
so
a Boy Scout
a
jam.
Oh, maybe he's got like some mileage on there. He's like,
maybe he learned the word at the Boy Scouts.
It's like a guy who said loyalty more than anybody who's ever like not owned a dog. It's really weird. Trump has never walked a dog.
Kicked
about
one,
that.
But not walked.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it, too, because, like, these are the speeches where Trump's, you know, awful speechwriter kind of, like, really stretches out. And it just made me think that, like, fascism is just what a really shitty person thinks is patriotism, you know?
Yes, yes.
That's yeah. all it is. Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to really, you know what? I'm going to really write some pretty great rhetoric, some presidential American shit.
Which is so bad and so pathetic, and their ratings are going down. Right? And I say it, and you know, we're all pros. We're all, like, we have a certain
Okay,
sense.
Stop. Did he just say we're all pros?
And we're all pros here in Arizona.
Everybody there is a pro.
We're all in the business. We all know what's going on here.
Do you know who the biggest pro there is? Is, what does he call himself? Michael the Black?
He is a joke.
My dude.
A joke.
All right. So
D-invited.
I appreciate the passion. I'm just going to quote for the people at home who are listening. Because again, I remind none of you have mics. And that is a choice we made, which is fine. But anyway, what you said is, as a black person, I can say he's not invited to the cookout. And I just wanted to quote that so the people at home heard it like we all did. Thank you.
He said that Oprah was the devil, so I mean, I can see why. She wanted people to join a book club. That makes sense.
So he's like 50-50.
We're smart people. These are truly dishonest people. And not all of them. Not all of them. You have some very good reporters. You have some very fair journalists. But for the most part, honestly, these are really, really dishonest people. And they're bad people. And I really think they don't like our country.
Okay,
I really
stop.
Believe that.
So I just would point out that the speech began by saying, we are united, we all come together, and by the way, CNN sucks, reporters hate America. It is like, he's the president now. He is the president, and he is pointing at a group of people. And, you know, Anna Marie Cox talked about this with John and Dan and me on Thursday's Pod Save America, because I showed up early to do the ads and then just started being on the show. And that's what I do on Thursdays sometimes. But she said she was in this reporter pen for one of these moments where Donald Trump just turns an arena full of people on this small gathering of reporters. And she said it was terrifying. And of course it is. And he's playing with fire because he doesn't understand and doesn't care. But it's really serious. It's really serious for the president to say that reporters don't love this country and that they're bad people. It is a message. It's a message not to listen to them. But also it is a message to crazy people. And journalists are being killed all over the world, and it can happen here. And there's no good there.
But he keeps saying they're bad people, which a mother to a child, like when they say a bad person, it's not report, like it's not somebody who went to college and like learned to write and tried to tell the truth about the country. Like that's not bad people. When you read a story to a child, you're like, it was a bad person. It's not a guy with a pencil and a notebook. Or a gal with a tape recorder.
Well, but the people that support Trump are like, they see him as daddy, and they're the baby. But also,
story. He's
the baby, and they're the daddy.
Yes.
It's both.
Yes. No, you are so right about this. Like, in fact, this whole nightmare of a rally...
It's Lord of the Flies up there.
It's literally like, if your drunk roommate came home after... He is. This is
yes,
what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like... If your drunk roommate came home and you heard from someone, they're like, Pete just punched a girl in the face. And he came home and he was like, for 45 minutes, was like, wait, can I just read you some of my journal of what I wrote about Stephanie? And then you're supposed to sit there and be like, yeah, you're right, man. She was a total bitch.
Yeah, but then if you're the supporter, you're drunk too, and you're like, oh my God, Stephanie,
exactly.
I'm going to punch her.
Fuck Stephanie.
Let's all punch Stephanie.
Fuck Stephanie. She's a bad person.
Stephanie can't be trusted with an email server.
Stephanie's my sister's name.
I feel like I get it.
Let's finish the clip. Also, my parents are here. Give it up for my parents.
If you want to discover the source of the division in our country... Look no further than the fake news and the crooked media.
Yeah.
I get plenty of bad on Fox, too. But at least it's within reason. And Hannity, how good is Hannity, he said. How good is Hannity?
It is ice cold
that
CNN just has to play... Okay, stop. Play How Great is Hannity on their air. I mean, are we at the point where why CNN will just put, like... Hey, we're crook. Like,
CNN's doing a new show called CNN Sucks.
Yeah, they're like, so fucking spineless.
Don't air
it's
this.
Just like, right? Am I crazy?
I don't know. You know, CNN. I do not want us to then be in the position where because Trump makes CNN a villain, like we all have to defend Trump all day. Because, like, you know, there could be a story without heroes. But. But I will say this: CNN, I think, made it the same category error that a lot of news outlets did, that a lot of people did, myself included, which is to treat Trump's victory as so unlikely as to make the spectacle itself worth covering, and treated it as such. And I think that after Trump's win, I think a lot of things changed. But I think CNN has in a lot of ways stepped up. I think covering Trump's rallies when he was a primary candidate wall to wall while, you know, basically sucking the air out of the race for the rest of the candidates was reprehensible. Mm-hmm. But he's the president, and he's making a crazy speech, and it's news. And yeah. I have no problem with them covering it, and that's it. I mean, like, I just... It's not CNN's fault. I mean, well... There's nothing CNN can do right now about the fact that Donald Trump is president. And because he is, and he's on television saying insane things, it's not their job to keep that from us.
Okay, here's my pitch to CNN. You can't see this on the podcast, but in the room. I think you should just let the Chiron start being a rebuttal and let it go to 3, 4, 5 lines until it, like, covers his face if he lies enough. Like... Rebut to the top of the screen.
Well, that's a great idea.
That is a good idea. And they have done rebuttal chirons that are like, you know, Trump claims X, Prince is not true.
But I'm saying all the...
Just have it keep rising up until his face just is surrounded by chiron.
I think you could even train him by doing that to lie less frequently if each lie added up.
You're not going
to
change Donald Trump.
You know what you need
is like a little. He's like a little dog. I can change him.
You sound like an abused spouse.
No, I know, but he's really. I can change him.
We need a real time Pinocchio filter that as he's speaking, there's someone whose job it is on like a graphic thing to kind of slowly extend his nose so that when you tune in, you have an automatic way of knowing just how deceptive he's being in the moment.
I feel like we should start treating the people who support Trump like we treat Trump. They're not going to change. He has this corner of the base. They're not going to believe anything. He said he could shoot somebody in the face in Fifth Avenue and people would still support him. It's totally true. He's going to keep doing impeachable offenses. They're going to keep supporting him. CNN, I think there's this, the mainstream media has this like feeling that if they go too far in calling him out or don't have this like false equivalency all the time, they'll be seen as the liberal media. But it doesn't matter what they do, they'll be seen as the liberal media.
But I will say this, after Trump spoke here, there was like a shot of all of the CNN panel and it looked like they had just watched a puppy fall out of a window.
John's got an incredible what the fuck is happening face going on. He's now hands to brows, hands over mouth.
He's an honest guy.
Sean Hannity.
And Fox and Friends in the Morning is the best show, and it's the absolute most honest show. And it's the show I watch.
It's the show he watches, guys. It's the most honest show. It's fantastic. He loves Fox and Friends. Fox and Friends is the stupidest, most deceptive, disgusting thing that Fox puts on every day.
I heard Kelly is actually having it animated for him before it airs.
And the nose from CNN just starts to creep into Fox because it went all the way across the bottom banner.
End of segment. So... that's okay, stop. Guys, there's been a lot going on. It's very dark out there, but there was a bit of a lighter moment on Monday. On Monday, Louise Linton, the wife of Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, posted an Instagram photo of herself exiting a military jet with the following caption, "Great hashtag day trip to hashtag Kentucky." I'm just going to skip some of the hashtags, put them in. Nicest, people, beautiful, countryside. Roland Meret pants. Is that a brand that I don't know? I'm too salt of the earth to know the brand. Is it Roland Meret? Is that right? Did I say it? Oh, whatever. Roland Meret pants. Tom Ford. Sunnies. Tom Ford. Oh, sunglasses. Ugh. Hermes scarf. You know what? It's fun to get them wrong. I don't get Swiss on my sandwich.
Yeah, but this
sandwich.
Isn't any brand. This is Hermes.
Hermes scarf. Valentino rock stud heels. Hashtag Valentino. Hashtag USA. In an Instagram comment on the photo, Jenny Miller, a mother of three from Oregon, commented, "Glad we could pay for your little getaway. Hashtag deplorable." We don't hate Jenny, guys. Louise responded to Jenny Miller with quite a tirade. So we are now introducing a new segment. It is called A Reading by Michaela Watkins. She will now read Louise Linton's response to this mother of three from Oregon. Michaela, take it away.
Forgive me, because I don't normally like to attack other fellow women performers. But now that I've seen that you destroyed Taylor Swift like a snossage at a Rottweiler fight, who cares, right? No, but feminism is really calling out people for being an asshole. So forgive me if this is not a good impression. Here we go. This is the response. Cute, with a kiss emoji. Aww. Did you think this was a personal trip? Adorable. Do you think the U.S. government paid for our honeymoon or personal travel? LOL. Have you given more to the economy than me and my husband, either as an individual earner in taxes or in self-sacrifice to your country? I'm pretty sure we paid more taxes toward our day, quote-unquote, trip than you did. By the way, it was a trip, right? She went to go see the eclipse.
They went to go see the eclipse at Fort fucking Knox.
Okay.
Which is way too on the nose.
In an airplane that said United States of America. Pretty sure the amount we sacrifice per year is a lot more than you'd be willing to sacrifice if the choice was yours. Strong arm emoji, kiss emoji. You're adorably out of touch. Hard eyes emoji. Thanks for the passive-aggressive, nasty comment. Because this whole thing isn't passive-aggressive.
I can't.
Sorry. Can't. Your kids look very cute. Your life looks cute. I know you're mad, but deep down, you're really nice. And so am I. Sending me passive-aggressive Instagram comments isn't going to make life feel better. Maybe a nice message, one filled with wisdom and humanity, would get more traction. Have a pleasant evening. Go chill out and watch the Game of Thrones. It's fab. See.
Give it up for Michaela Watkins with a fantastic reading. I have to say, your life looks cute is one of the most passive-aggressive things I'd...
And she grew up in a Scottish castle. Like, you can't throw stones. You can't throw stones when you grow up in a Scottish castle.
They bounce right off. That shit is like...
Wait, but also, isn't your kids look cute what, like... a fucking serial killer says
that's
before they
right.
kill your kids?
And she's like, your comment will get more traction. What? How much more traction can a comment fucking get than her responding with a paragraph?
And what does a cute life look like?
It's so your insulting. Life is cute? It's like, oh, look at your little life. It's so adorable. We don't like it. When we come back...
So scary.
A new segment called Old News.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we're back. Now for a segment called Old News. It's a new game that we're going to be playing. Guys, beneath your chairs, you guys each have a question to ask a member of our audience. I see a great many friends of the pod. I see a straight shooter or two. Elisa, can you find somebody who might be interested in playing the game Old News? There's somebody over there. They got to be in merch, though. Oh, there. This person's raising her hand. Oh. Hello, what's your name?
Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
I'd like to say I used to work for Sheriff Joe.
You worked for Sheriff Joe?
Whoa. Nicole, don't boo me.
Don't say your last name.
I won't.
Can you give us one shocking fact about your time there?
Just one?
Just one.
Well, he's like my height. He's not as tall as he looks.
Okay, that's okay, but I wanted something a little bit more exciting. That's okay, Nicole. Thank you for sharing that information anyway. Are you ready to play the game Old News?
Yeah.
Have you been paying attention to the news since Donald Trump was inaugurated as president?
Yes.
So much has happened this year. I want to see if you've been paying attention. I'm going to run through a few of the minor skirmishes that have happened that we have seemingly forgotten about because so much other crazy shit has happened. We each are going to ask you a question. You're going to be playing for a parachute gift card. Question number one, it is multiple choice. Back in May, Trump released a budget with a serious math error. By how much did he miscalculate? Was he wrong by $2 million, $20 billion, or $2 trillion?
Trillion.
$2 trillion mm-hmm. is correct. And they said that they did it on purpose. Alice, you're up with question number two for Nicole.
All right, you got this. During a Black History Month speech, Trump alluded to which historical figure as still being alive? He said, blank, is an example of somebody who's done an amazing job and is being recognized more and more. I noticed.
Frederick Douglass.
That's correct.
Crushing it, Nicole. Andrew. Question number three.
All right. This is a good one. I would have gotten this wrong. How many times has Trump tweeted about Hillary Clinton since the inauguration?
Tough.
Option A.
You have options. You have options. I'm not going to have you know the number.
Option A, 585. Option B, 97. And option C, 1,012.
I like it.
What?
No, not all of the above.
How could it be all of the above? How could that be? That can be an answer in a multiple choice, but not when there's three numbers.
It would be adding them all together, yeah. I think is what she's
saying.
Oh,
well, that had just been a trick question.
Yeah, we wouldn't do that.
That's your MO.
We wouldn't do that.
That is my MO. Nicole, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but you did raise your hand. Is it 585, 97, or 1,012?
585.
Oh, hell yeah.
You're about to be caffeinated.
Michaela is up to read Nicole her fourth and final question. She is 3 for 3.
True or false? Donald Trump held a nuclear strategy session in the public dining room of its Florida resort.
True.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. It's true. That did happen.
4 for 4.
That did happen. Guys, Nicole went 4 for 4. Give it up for Nicole. Nicole, you've won the parachute gift card. Now for the rant wheel. We've got a lot on the rant wheel today. All right. Here's where it could land. It could land on Robert Lee, an ESPN announcer who didn't call a game because his name sounded sort of like Robert E. Lee. We have the Arizona GOP using Margaret Cho's sitcom family photo to represent Asians. We have more people tweeting about how there's a new President Trump. We have the neo-Nazis hiding behind the First Amendment when they get banned from Twitter and PayPal and other services. We have the Game of Thrones finale. We have people visiting the ER after the eclipse. We have Trump already campaigning for re-election in 2017. And we have Facebook's suggested friends. Let's spin the wheel. Okay.
Yes.
So ESPN pulled a guy named Robert Lee off of a...
He was calling a Virginia game.
Calling a
so
Virginia
a little,
game.
Yeah.
And he was pulled up because his name...
Robert motherfucking Lee.
Is...
It's not because his middle name was motherfucking.
No, that part is like...
should have been pulled long ago.
He's lived with that, yeah.
I don't know if you guys have any strong feelings about this. I think this whole thing got blown out of proportion. It's the kind of thing where somebody, once somebody asks that, that question never should have been asked, right? Can somebody named Robert Lee call a game in Virginia during all of this? I mean, mm-hmm. I think he should. But then somebody asked and like, well, now that you've asked, I guess you got to be better safe than sorry.
Yeah. It got leaked, though, is the problem. Because I think this shit is like relatively routine. If I may, my small rant on this is directed at probably a tiny bit of your listenership. But Asian parents, just fucking crack a history book before you name your kid. Because it is like, I know, and it's like, I'm the only one that's saying this, but, you know, and you guys don't say this, but just seriously.
Well,
a fucking bummer.
His name isn't Robert. Like, I would get it maybe if the guy's name was Roberty. Because that's a weird name. And that would be a little messed up. But he's not even a white guy. Like, I don't understand. And it's obvious that I feel like it was just leaked and then made a big deal out of it. Like, oh, look what it does. The PC police came in and now a guy can't work his job.
Yeah, it feels
it's
like a prank
bullshit.
From Republicans.
Yeah.
Where they're
it's
just
a troll.
Like, I think it's turn PC on its face and make them have to defend it, okay?
I think it's like the best kind of troll, too, because it's like it's like a vague political cartoon where like you can read any point of view into this action and to the reaction and to the reaction. Like, it's just like, it is probably pointless, but like, Jesus Christ.
Our culture is dumb. Let's spin it again.
Yeah.
It has landed on the Game of Thrones finale.
I'm so happy.
And what's funny is this was put on the rant wheel by others and just assumed I'd have something to yell about. I guess either about either the quality of how the season has gone, people not being quiet during the episode. Michaela, where's your head at?
There's not enough tits, man. No. no, I have a couple of things, but every time my husband doesn't watch Game of Thrones and I do, and every time I talk about it with people, he goes... When you talk about Game of Thrones, you sound so dumb. And I know what he means, because I'm like, wait a minute, so what is it?
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do, Michaela. We're going to make a note, and we're going to beep that when we put it out.
Okay.
Keep going.
Well, I do have, I don't know. I have to talk about things that have happened in past episodes this season, but it would be a spoiler for somebody who is, say, listening to this from France and
so
couldn't get HBO
so we're,
Go.
So is anybody in this room worried about being spoiled? Oh, a couple people raised their hands, but not
start.
Enough.
I can talk about it without
just
spoiling.
Just go,
no, do it. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
I have an evergreen rant about Game
of
Thrones.
Yeah, I can talk about it without spoiling it.
This is, mine is not as... good as yours, I can already tell. But
you have no
listen,
way of knowing.
Here's my problem with Game of Thrones is that the only consistent thing so far about the show has been it does feel like they are trying to soften everyone's stance on incest. Like they're really doing a lot of work. And that's the only arc that has been like entirely
consistent
throughout.
Yeah.
It's like incest is bad, and then it's like, is it though?
I shouldn't ship
like,
them.
It's insane. It's like the only thing, characters bounce all over the place, everyone's motivations, fucking whatever. They really are on the track to being like, incest. Good.
That's so much better than what I was going to say. There's like no way.
Thank you, Alice.
All
that's
I was
going nice.
To say is that the ravens fly too fast.
That's
not a spoiler,
though.
But like every time anybody sends a raven, like 4 seconds later, somebody's like, oh, cool. Like it's like the cell phone of Game of Thrones.
It's like you send a raven out and it goes bloop, and then 5 seconds later, bloop.
Yeah, except bloop, bloop.
boop. And it's like, oh, are you guys going to be out later? Okay, send me a raven if you're out. Okay, cool.
I feel like this season is sort of emblematic of our administration where so
incest
much has happened.
Incest is fine.
That.
Boom.
That.
Yeah. Oh, no. That. We're doing the Arsenio thing, Michaela.
That was very true. But also, that so much is happening that when something big happens, they're a little bit like, don't worry about it. We have such bigger fish to fry right now. Yeah. Like, don't worry about how... Don't worry about it.
You don't know what she's referring to.
Yeah, I know.
You're good. Yeah. And we're going to beep this in the recording. We're going to bleep this like you said some words.
And you don't know how it turns out.
No. You don't know how anything happens. Let's spin it again before I get in more trouble with people yelling at me for spoiling Game of Thrones. Okay. It has landed on a new President Trump. The reason it was there is because, once again, Donald Trump gave a speech, I believe, on Monday night in which he did not, you know, fall down. He read the teleprompter successfully. You know, he announced his Afghanistan policy, even though he really didn't explain what it was. And, of course, once again, reporters start talking about how this is a new President Trump. Philip Rucker, who is a good reporter, tweeted, "Tonight is a new President Trump, acknowledging a flip-flop and talking about the gravity of the office, history, and substance." And I thought Brian Beutler of the New Republic made a good point about this. He said, "It's fair to ask anyone who's tweeted anything like this in the past 2 years why they haven't learned or what upside they see in playing games." And I think that's really fair because it is so crazy to approach Donald Trump reading from a teleprompter and doing his best impression of someone who isn't the guy on the day before, the day after, and treat it like it's anything different or anything new or anything, any shift. He doesn't shift. The guy that gave the speech in Phoenix is the guy. He can't contain it. He can't stop it. It's who he's always going to be, and that's it. And so looking for big conclusions, looking for some kind of sweeping change, looking for a pivot, it is never going to be happening. Never going to happen. I think part of the problem is reporting the same thing over and over again is boring. And also, by the way, not being nuanced gets pretty boring. You know, we're all dealing with this completely black and white situation every day, and it doesn't change. And so there's nothing new to say about it. Yeah, he read from the thing. It wasn't a total disaster. He's still going to be a racist tomorrow. Nothing is going to change. The only thing that will change is when he leaves. And everything else is false nuance and bullshit. That's it. That's all I had to say about it. And I guess we should leave it there.
Yeah. It's a good place to leave it.
I don't really have anything else to say. I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, this week, today was fucking nuts. I'm really looking through the rest of these cards to see if there's anything else to cover. I think we hit
While we were recording this, Trump went in front of Trump Tower and grabbed 10 pussies on CNN Live.
Please rate and subscribe the show.
But let's also send all our love and warm and well wishes out to Texas.
That's
to Texas.
You too. Yeah. Yes, there's a hurricane
Good luck,
coming
Texas.
In Texas. If you're listening to this in Texas, you know, it's scary. Give it up for our panel. Alice Wetterlund, Andrew T., Michaela Watkins, Tommy Vitor, Ira Madison. Thank you guys so much.
If you guys like Positive America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Positive America. That includes our new show, which is called Positive America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription-exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall, so it's a little bit looser and more fun, and it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show, plus you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every
Dan's,
quarter.
Yeah, clothed.
Dan is very busy, clothed only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community, is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.